It's time to talk some hoops. Our guest, one of the top basketball journalists in the country, wired into the college and WNBA like few others, doing her thing for ESPN. On Twitter, her handle is at Michelle Vopel. We're fortunate enough to welcome back Michelle. Michelle, always appreciate your time. How are you doing during, let's call it, the madness that has become our lives?
Well, I guess I would say in some ways things aren't terribly different in terms of you work a lot at home anyway, right, as a journalist. But the big difference, of course, is no games and no chance to chat with people in person and, you know, travel and see things. So that has been very weird. But, you know, we're all adjusting, I guess, the same way. And at least we have it looks like some seasons and sports that are coming up, and hopefully that's going to be safe for all the people that are participating in it.
Now, I want to actually kind of start with the state of the WNBA. Been lucky enough in recent months to have Neka Ogumike, the union president, and Kathy Engelbert, the new commissioner, on the show. And as opposed to, say, Major League Baseball or the NFL, it seems like with this new collective bargaining agreement, the players getting full salary despite missing 14 of 36 games. Michelle, would I be accurate to say that there's kind of a unique style of unity and partnership that exists here that's really critical moving forward?
I think you're right. It's kind of a situation where I think the union and the league during the collective bargaining process, which, of course, they signed the new agreement in January before we knew everything that was going to be happening. That was an agreement that really forged a very good relationship between the union and Terry Jackson, the executive director, and Kathy Engelbert, who has been the commissioner of the league since last summer, in July of 2019. So they worked on that really well together. And then I think when, you know, everything that's happened, they continued to work well together, and they were able to come to the agreement to have, as you said, the full salaries and the bubble. You know, that's a big financial commitment to do that, but I feel like they, you know, the league felt this was an important thing to do and an important gesture, especially in the first year of the new CBA.
Kara Lawson is now the new coach at Duke. I mean, whether it's her playing career, playing for Coach Summit at Tennessee, an Olympian, a great WNBA career, then she became a major voice and analyst at ESPN. Then she was calling NBA games. And now she, I guess, is the second Coach K in Durham. Michelle is one of the major faces of the game. How important is it that she's now a head coach of such a substantial program?
Well, I think she has a chance to be one of the, as you said, a major face in women's basketball. To Greece, she already was because of her playing career and as a broadcaster. Obviously, she was in the public eye a lot. I think people probably thought, hey, you know, once she went into the NBA side of it, maybe that was her goal. Like some of the other women, such as Becky Hammon, we've seen go into the NBA side, that maybe she thought, hey, I'm good. That's the path I'm going to take to become an NBA head coach. But then this job came open, and I think she saw this as, you know, a great next step, even though she hadn't been in the NBA that long, just a year, that this was the type of college job she was willing to leave the NBA for. And, you know, Sarah's been a big success at whatever she's done, whatever element of basketball it is. So, there's, you know, I think a lot of people see her being able to do that same thing with Duke.
Talking hoops with Michelle Vopel of ESPN. Here on this show, we've talked about Maya Moore, who's pretty much was the kind of the Bill Russell of the women's game. Everywhere she went, she won. She walked away from last season to fight for that man named Jonathan Irons, who was wrongly jailed as a teenager, now free. She's opted out of this season. You know, from Muhammad Ali to Megan Rapinoe, we've seen athletes take up causes, but while they played, well, you know, what could be said about this kind of sacrifice and just compassionate commitment she's made?
I would say Maya always did walk the walk, you know, with what she said she believed in and her service to other people. She's a very faith-based person. And you look at what she was willing to do and walk away from and why that mattered to her, it's a pretty phenomenal story. And I think it goes to what we always saw of Maya, even back, honestly, when she was a freshman at UConn. She seemed much older, a person who had a lot going on in her mind about what she wanted to accomplish in life other than just basketball. She had bigger goals, and helping somebody who spent this many years of his life in prison to finally taste freedom again. That's a pretty phenomenal thing to do, and she was willing to step away to do that, to focus on it.
No, she's remarkable. So kind of a general question. I mean, now we're counting down a week from Saturday morning. The season begins, and considering we've been in lockdown for 4 months, you know, beyond being the professional or the journalist, kind of tapping into the fan in you, how much are you just looking forward to watching actual games?
A lot. I think all of us probably feel a little or maybe more than a little conflicted about, because is this going to be safe for everybody? You know, there's a concern about how safe the bubbles are. So far, we've had multiple Zoom calls with athletes this week, actually starting Saturday. And for the most part, you know, with the WNBA, everybody's been really upbeat. And, there were some initial missteps with some of the accommodations with the WNBA, but all of those seem to have been taken care of. And everybody seems very much like, you know, that the league is doing everything they can to keep everybody safe, but also have good conditions. And so I think, with the hope, obviously, that everybody is safe and there's no, you know, health threats, everybody is going to be eager, I think, to see, you know, professional sports. We've seen some, you know, with golf and motorsports and some other things, but to see basketball again and, baseball, hockey, what have you, I think it's going to be, because it's weird, right? Like, nobody, we've never been through this before.
Of course not.
I there are days where I still wake up and think, there's no time in my memory of my life. Because like most of you, you know, I've been a sports fan since I was a little kid, where I went a week without sports, let alone as long as we've gone. So I am looking forward to it, but also, you know, have that thought in the back of my mind, like, hopefully everybody's staying safe and they get through a season safely.
Yeah, once upon a time, it was torture to get through baseball's All-Star break.
Oh, no, Steve, that is exactly, you bring that up. And before the WNBA, I always thought that. I was like, those days when there's nothing, like, what do you do? Then the WNBA came, and at least there was, a game or two that was in that stretch. Well, we've had to completely readjust, and it's weird. We didn't have any choice. We just had to do it, and it's almost been a little bit like sleepwalking through just a bad dream, if you will, because that's kind of what it feels like.
A few final thoughts for Michelle Vopel of ESPN, and I'm going to get selfish and make it about our Ducks. Obviously, here everybody is out of their minds to see them play. I have my Liberty jersey on a hanger ready for the 25th. But you have the national ear. So the buzz outside Eugene about Sabrina making her pro debut and with a little extra sugar kind of facing Breanna Stewart in the Storm as she returns for this season opener.
Yeah, it's a great matchup. You know, that's what I think everybody wants to see, is to see Sabrina and against another former, well, more than one number, former number one pick, because obviously Sue Bird is with Seattle as well. Part of it is we just talked to Sabrina yesterday, as a matter of fact, on the Zoom call, and the Liberty don't have a lot of external pressure on them, if you will, because the team was seven rookies.
Right.
So everyone's sort of thinking, okay, this is going to just be a learning, growing season for them. Well, nothing really could be better in some ways for Sabrina, because as she mentioned, this was very much like her freshman year at Oregon, you know, with all the freshmen that she came in with, and the fact that they were trying to build something from the beginning, and that they all had to be, you know, she and Ruthie both were like this, had to be relied on from the beginning. So in some ways it's just, you know, part two of doing that, and she's already had so much experience with it.
By the time this season ended, I think you could have made a legit case that Satu Sabolli was maybe 1 or 1A as far as the best player in the country, and she went second in the draft. You know, she's on that team with the buzzer-beater queen, Arike Ogunbowale, Tyasha Harris of South Carolina. So what's the buzz around Satu and the situation she landed in Dallas?
It's interesting because in some ways it's a bit like Sabrina in that that's such a young team in Dallas. I mean, they really, you know, went sort of like New York to say, hey, we're building a new culture. And with New York, obviously, there's also a new coach in Walt Hopkins. But Brian Agler, even though he's been in the WNBA and women's basketball for, you know, decades, is, you know, still young, very young in his career at Dallas, right? So it's like a new beginning for Dallas with players like Satu. I think there's a ton of just people really love watching Satu's game. I mean, as much as we all love Sabrina's, I think everybody sees Satu as another, you know, future star and a longtime star. So she's going to be growing with that team very much like Sabrina's growing with her team, and that's going to be interesting to watch, is they're both going to have a huge influence, you know, on how the Liberty and the Wings play for the next who knows how long. It's kind of a cool thing how big a factor I think both of them are going to be on their respective teams.
And lastly, I saw some film on Ruthie Hebert working out. We refer to her around here as rim to rim, just work, work, mm-hmm. work. She ends up with Chicago, who was a playoff team. And of course, if you want to pick and roll the night away, how about Kelly Gray's first college superstar, Courtney Vandersloot? Is it logical to think that she has walked into a really, really favorable situation?
I agree. It's a little different, and we'll see how that all shakes out. It's a little different in that that's a little bit more experienced team, and obviously very experienced with its backcourt, with Courtney Vandersloot, as you said, and Allie Quigley. And, you know, Courtney Vandersloot, when Ruthie was drafted, was just like, hooray. You know, like, she thought, this is perfect. I mean, talk about, you know, what does a guard love more than somebody who just puts the ball in the basket, right? That's Ruthie. She puts the ball in the basket. Get her the ball, she's going to find a way to put it in. And so I think that's going to be a really, I think, good situation for her. And the Sky are a team that I think, you know, as you said, it's a playoff team last year that took this crazy, you know, buzzer beater from half court to beat them last year. Otherwise, they would have been in the semifinals. So I think we could see them being one of the last four teams, you know, going this year. So that would be really, you know, cool for Ruthie. And I do think it's a good fit for her.
Well, I've always appreciated when you've been able to find some time to share your knowledge and insight. She is Michelle Volpel on Twitter. It's M-E-C-H-E-L-L-E. You can find her work on ESPN.com. And I greatly appreciate you finding some time to talk with us, Michelle. Enjoy the season. And obviously, I really hope we could talk again pretty soon down the road.
Oh, absolutely. I know we'll have a lot of Ducks success to talk about, for sure. So thanks
right.
for having me.
All right. Have a good one. Be well, Michelle.
Thank you.